Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. From childhood, in many cases. Then you also have these different places in the scripture where they share it with people who've never heard truth. And if you see this and look at the two distinct ways it's shared, when they're in the presence of someone who's not religious or not a Jewish person, they go back from creation and they establish the very creative picture of God's creative order, and then they go all the way up through in doing that. It's interesting when you see this, and it fell on me, it hit me this week, when I saw this really distinct two presentations of the gospel, how powerful and how this should really resonate to us, to me especially in this day of time, when they're speaking to ones who have this religious background, they start most often somewhere around the Egypt mark and go forward, as you see right here with Paul. You see in verse 14, he goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And in verse 14, they continued their journey from Perga, reached Antioch and Poseidon, and on Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. And leads to the first thing that I want to share with you this morning, and it is this. Do not assume that someone knows spiritual truth. And I don't know if that resonates with you, but it does me. If you share Christ in any way in this day and time, you've run into what I have seen. See, when I was young, everybody pretty much knew. Adam and Eve pretty much knew about God. They pretty much know about the story of creation because they had gone to a backyard vacation Bible school. Pretty much everybody knew that. Amen? But there's a problem now. There's a whole lot of people don't know anything. They don't know anything about a God. They know about gods they hear about, but they don't know anything about a God that spoke this into existence in 6 days and rested on the seventh day out of ex nihilo, right? Out of nothing. God spoke into existence what we see, and then, by the way, created man from that ex nihilo. Yes? But we have a tendency because, see, we sit in church, we hear. So how many times do we have a tendency when we sit in front of someone and we start talking about whatever? They might be talking about an angel or something religious. We automatically assume, oh, they're Christians. And we start talking. Next thing you know, they're looking at you going, and they walk right going, I don't know what they're talking about. Because we assume. And I want to tell you, God deeply impressed on me this week that we can't assume someone knows spiritual truths. See, Paul was able to do this because the arena he's in, he's recognizing they know those foundational truths. These people are in the synagogue. They have heard the basic part. Now let's just take it from where we need to and let's go forward on the part I know that they don't know. We have got to foundationally qualify people we're talking to when we are sharing what God's doing in our lives, because let me tell you, when you walk up to somebody and say, man, I'll tell you what, God's so good. You know what you just said? Buddha's so good. Allah's so good. You just said, in their minds, there was no exclusivity to the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. You are not speaking to the doorway to Christ Jesus. You, in other words, are just speaking to the gods. Because of our culture is the reason I say that. And we've got to be careful that we qualify and help. When we are getting ready to share or we're sharing and God's opened a doorway, don't assume. Because I think what it can do often is rob us from an opportunity to have a very powerful presentation of Christ's work, the work of Christ, the work of salvation, if nothing else, the work of creation. You know, when you are looking up at the sky, and let's say you're out there and there's a full moon, or as a matter of fact, the day that they had the, a couple of years ago, I don't know, probably 5 years ago now, and my time is so, when we had that eclipse, in the world stop for a minute, right? In Middle Tennessee, at least. What a great way to be able to go, wow, this is such a neat picture of God's creative genius, the God of all creation. Look at his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory, the earth the work of his hands. You are speaking exclusive, right? Singular. We've got to be careful, though, and we've got to understand and know what we're sharing when we do it, just like we see Paul here doing. And if you look through Scripture, they know their audience, and I think it's very important. Don't go in naively, church, when someone's talking about angels and you go, oh, isn't it just so amazing and so awesome? You don't even know what context they're using it when you jump in a conversation like that. Be careful what conversation you're going and being a part of, because we don't want to be anything that's going to detract or take away from the power of the gospel, the truth of the gospel. And it takes us, I call this being on your toes spiritually, being in God's word, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, in your whole entire life, trusting the Lord with all your hearts, letting God open those doorways, being faithful, and God's going to give you out what you put in. So when you spend time in God's word, he's going to give you recollection, church. I don't have a good memory. That's okay. You don't have to. You've got a God that will give you what you need when you need it. Amen? As a matter of fact, that's what the word promises, so I'm going with the word. I'm not worried about this old body that's passing away. And it doesn't matter one day. I've been in the nursing home 30 years ago now. I was doing geriatrics, and you know what? I worked with Alzheimer's patients. And I knew those Alzheimer's patients better than a lot of their families knew them, and I knew that a lot of them didn't know who their families were anymore. And you know how many times they'd start singing an old hymn? And I'd sing it with them. Isn't that amazing? They couldn't remember their own family anymore, but they could remember those old hymns. I remember one old lady, her name was Minnie. And I'd say she's been gone for decades now, probably 25 years, I'd say. But I remember she'd reel in her little sweet little voice would start swinging Sweet Hour of Prayer. And I just remember going, this person knows no one. But they sing that entire song word for word. Remember, I was lost back then. I wasn't living for the Lord. But it didn't cease to, in my mind, go, that's kind of weird that she's able to remember all of that song. Well, I know now, as a true follower of Christ, I know why now. Because I want to tell you something, man. God's word never passes away, amen? And there's deep theology in the truths of those hymns. That's why I love, that's why, you want to talk about, you'll watch me get as Pentecostal as anybody else. If my back wasn't hurt, I'd go run about 3 laps through this sanctuary right now, and y'all think I'm crazy. When we sing that song we sang earlier, anybody remember the words? The one we sang last. Huh? It is well with my soul. You think that's not proclaiming the truths of Scripture? Anybody know Horatio Spafford, know about him? I know you don't know him personally. It's a man that wrote it. Wrote that song after he'd lost family when a ship went down, headed to across the ocean to America. By the way, you know he'd lost his business before that. He'd lost almost, it's like he'd lost everything. He'd not lost one thing. The peace of God which surpasses, transcends all understanding that guards your heart in Christ Jesus. See, because as that other hymn says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. See, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And oh, do I love the last one, is it when he shall come with trumpet sound? Oh, may I then in him be found dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand, all other ground, sinking sand. See, what we stand on today, it transcends time, it transcends eternity, past and eternity future right now. Oh, there's no more exciting news this morning, church. See, God knows where you're at. He knows where I'm at. And he knows this week who you and I will stand in front of. See, he transcends all time, all history, everywhere at one time. So see, God knows this week who he will put you in front of. And all you've got to do is be faithful. When you get in God's word, you don't know where you're going, but see, he does. And it's just like Peter stepping outside of that boat. Peter had no worries, as long as he didn't worry about the logistics of things. But then all of a sudden he got concerned with the logistics when the wind. He got concerned about something that was none of his business. And yet, this week all we have to do is let go and let the master of creation, the master of the canvas that paints the strokes of every step of our life, if we'll allow him, to take full and complete preeminence. Preeminent means number one. Let him have preeminence. Let him be Jehovah Nissi, your banner. Because that's what he is. Let him have preeminence. Let God give you discernment when you're in front of someone to share what they need to hear. The old saying is that's why God gave us two ears and one mouth, to listen twice as much as we talk. Listen for a few minutes before. God's been so good to me. I'll tell you, I remember a time when I struggled so hard, and I'm just thankful for today, and then just be quiet. Because I don't care what's happening, and you say that in front of somebody, if they're having a bad time, they're getting ready to tell you, well, my life ain't too good. Oh, wow, what's going on? And what can happen is you can allow them to begin to share what they need to share with someone, and you can end up being a catalyst with which God uses to minister to them. But you've got to be willing to take that time to listen and be willing to step out for the kingdom and potentially risk everything. They might cuss you. Someone could potentially threaten to hurt you. You think God's bigger than that? If you don't think so, you don't know the God that I serve. Because we see all through Scripture, even with Stephen and the dying grace, as he's praying that God would forgive the very people that were killing him, as we saw in our study through the book of Acts. Just be willing, and don't assume that someone knows these spiritual truths that you and I find so elementary, so simple, because there's so many today that don't know them. And then move on. In verses 28 through 33, though they found no grounds for spiritual death penalty, they asked Pilate to have him killed. They have him fulfilled with all that had been written about him. They took him down to the tree. They put him in the tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He appeared for many days to those who came with him from Galilee to Jerusalem and are now the witnesses of the people. We ourselves proclaim to you the good news of the promise that was made to our ancestors. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have become your father. And then move down. Then the second thing I want to share with you is this: present truth clearly. We see this presentation of the gospel. Always kind of, we're stuck for time, and it's so hard because there's so much in this morning. But Paul goes through and gives this presentation of the gospel again, and I'm going to be honest with you, right? Why does he have to? This is Jewish people. This was the people that Jesus came. Well, yes, he came, but yet they rejected that. So this was not teaching that was being taught in the synagogues. As a matter of fact, everything Jesus was anti. Remember Paul, we see this man Saul who was killing Christians, who was this ardent lover of God, who was anything but being one that was honoring the Lord, because he was literally working in opposition to everything that God was as the Father, the Son of the living God's Father, and him doing the Father's will and this gateway of salvation that had been opened. And here is Saul, persecuting the very ones that were honoring the new covenant that replaced the old covenant. So that's why Paul had to share this story of what Jesus was. Because the Jewish people had done everything to suppress it, to shut it down, to quiet it up, to stifle it. Well, isn't that interesting? It almost sounds like our culture, doesn't it? You can pray, just don't say in Jesus' name. See, when I prayed at our graduation from nursing school, the president of the class had to ask me. See, they told us, now you can have a prayer if y'all decide to. But it can't be sanctioned by the school, and it's not supposed to even be put in the bulletin. Remember how I shared with you that a person who's not a Christian is the president of our class who asked me to pray? Praise the Lord. Didn't have to. See, God will honor when you seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. Delight yourself in the Lord. I'll give you a desire. What is your desire? I want Him to be preeminent. I want Him to be exalted. I want God to be glorified. And yet, here we are in a culture right now that of any time in history needs the light of Christ like none other. We need hope. Every school should be starting in the mornings with prayer and the reading of God's word over the microphone, the sound system. Oh, how could you do that and infringe on people's rights? Rights to what? Peace and hope and joy? And the godlessness that they're in, literally submerging these poor kids in, only to tell them that they need some antidepressants and we need some more anti-anxiety medicines and we need this and we need that. Yes, I am well aware that there are brain things that people need medicine for. So church, don't think I'm anti people that need treated for disorders. I promise you, when I did my rotation at Trust Point, of anybody who's well aware that there are deep-seated things going on that are all the time not necessarily spiritually rooted, there are people that have been affected by the effects of sin and brains, amen? Amen. And we know that, and AKA your pastor, who's a major, absolutely, profoundly ADD, as you know and experience, amen? Oh, me. But I realize this. And what I realize is, though, that there is no hope for America. There's no hope for this world. There's no hope for our church. There's no hope for your home. Well, there's no hope for you apart from Jesus Christ. There is none. And when God's word says there is no other name under heaven by which a man must be saved, I want to tell you, you can take it to the bank. I don't care what the Baha'i faith says. You know anything about the Baha'i faith? They have a building that's circular in nature. They have a light in the center that comes down to a circuit, and they have all these doorways, and what it's in essence is all doorways lead to the light. I want to tell you what, that's straight from hell. I want to tell you what, anything that speaks anything other than the virgin birth, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ and placing your faith and trust in Him as the singular gateway, the doorway to heaven, is an antichrist. Plain and simple. As a matter of fact, Jesus talked about when He was there, the spirit of the antichrist was already among them. Amen? And look at the Jewish people in and of themselves. They were working in effect in an antichrist manner. Anybody who is against Jesus and the things of the Lord is antichrist. See, that's what the enemy likes. Oh, you can pray all day long. Just don't say in Jesus' name. What's the world's the problem? My question is, what are you scared of? What are you worried about? Well, I'll tell you what you're worried about. There's an old song. There's power in the name of Jesus. Anybody know that song? There's power in the name of Jesus. Yes. There's power to reduce strongholds, to set captives free, to make the lame to walk again and cause the blind to see. He's able, He's able, I know He's able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He healed the brokenhearted, He set the captives free, made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. We used to sing that. My dad would play that ukulele in the morning after our devotions. And it's true, He is able. And as Ephesians chapter 3:20 says, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That's where He's at. This is where we are. Oh, God, I can't wait till You do this. God says, what's wrong with you? Boom! That's what God does. Because He can do and will do exceeding abundantly, well beyond everything that we could ask or think. According to the power that works in us. Oh, praise God, glory, hallelujah. Present truth clearly, church. Don't do sadly, and I don't mind, I hate to call a person out, but it was so plain when, if I remember correctly, it was the guy who did all the nighttime, Larry King, interviewed Joel Osteen a number of years, many years, probably 20 years ago now, y'all are going to tell me because it feels like it's been just a few. And he said, and now Joel, Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? And I'll never forget, he choked and went, well, now, Larry, I'm not here to judge. Well, let me just tell you, right, first of all, a judge passes sentence. And Joel, no, you're not a judge. I'm not a judge. God is the only righteous judge. But I know one thing. My only response could have been at that moment, well, Larry, let me just tell you, well, God's word says there is but one name under heaven by which a man must be saved. There is but one. And you know, Larry, it's not mine, it's God's word, and I must proclaim the truth of God's word because there is only one gateway, there is only one doorway, and Jesus Christ is the only propitiation, the only payment, the only atonement for sin. See, you've got to be careful because if you don't proclaim truth and the exclusivity of Jesus Christ as the only Messiah, the only Redeemer, the only risen conqueror of hell and death, who swallowed it up in victory, who took captive those keys to hell and death, who took back the title deed to earth. Remember, oh man, Revelation chapter 5. Woo, praise God, amen. There's another spell. I just went around two more times. I'm not going to roll on the ground because I can't get up and get too old. But I'll run if I could. Present truth clearly, church. Don't sell it short. Do not apologize for it. I'll continue to say that to the day that I die by God's grace. Don't apologize for truth. You have nothing to apologize for. Oh, I'm sorry it offends you. No, John the Baptist didn't do it, and godly men and women in Scripture never apologize for truth. We have nothing to apologize for. Nothing to apologize for. You stand steadfastly on it, and if they hate who you are in Christ, so be it. Pray for them. Pray what? Pray blessings, as God's word says to do. Pray blessings on them, so that you then are blessable. And then move on, and we're finished. Verse 30. And then therefore, let it be known to you, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sin is being proclaimed to you today. To me, that's a picture there of John the Baptist. And third and final point, present truth boldly. Present it boldly. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. I want to tell you, if you're a Christian right now, and you are in any way a disciple, you are going to find yourself on the short end of a conversation with a whole lot of people that are completely diametrically opposed to you. Meaning, they're on the polar opposite end of thought process. You're going to find people calling you a bigot. You're going to call, you know, misogynist. You're going to call all these things they're going to call you. Remember, when you suffer for the name of Christ, the Bible says, consider yourself blessed that you were found worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. I would encourage you to get in your word now, and I would encourage you to pray that God would strengthen you in your walk with him, would strengthen you in the knowledge of the scripture, so that, I won't even say if, I'm going to tell you when that day comes, you might stand steadfast, armored up in God's word and truth, so that you might effectively be a mouthpiece for the kingdom of heaven, not darkness, not duplicity, not lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. Pray that God would set us ablaze with the truth of his word, his truth, the enduring, unchanging truth of the gospel message. What is the gospel message? Mankind is broken, but Christ Jesus is the only hope for mankind. And the only one that can restore fellowship between broken, sinful, separated man. The only one that can bring back fellowship with the Father. This morning, what is Jesus? He is our ability to fellowship and come boldly in the presence of the God of creation this morning. Well, Brother Jonathan, I mean, what if this person wants to do that? What? Human proclivities know no limits, amen? The human depravity, the human sin knows no limits. You hear what I'm saying? Well, I mean, we want to do this because these two people, this, oh, no. There's no limits to that. Don't tell me it stops with that. It stops with nothing. It continues on until nothing's off limits and you just take your mind and go there. See, God's boundaries for us in everything, including relationships, are so that we will live a life fulfilled and not a life of pain, heartache, and hurt outside the context of God's design, desire, and will for mankind. It has nothing to do with the depths of my depraved sin nature. It has nothing to do with, oh, well, I love this or I love that or I want to do. No, it has everything to do with God wanting us to be fulfilled. He wants you to be fulfilled in the boundaries that God's word establishes is to remove nothing from you, but to protect you from things that will reduce us to nothing and bring hurt and brokenness and emptiness and hopelessness. That's the only thing that God's word protects us from, but leads us to complete fulfillment with his desire for our life. And what does he do this? I love that picture. I have one. See, adults got it for me. I don't know, 10 years, 10, 5, I don't know what it's been, whatever, years ago. Amen. Sometime, but it's the one where the man that's worn out, he's got the hammer in his hand, and he's the one that's been beating Jesus, and he's nailing Jesus to the cross. He's all worn out, and Jesus has him. He's worn out from his sin. Anybody ever seen that picture? Let me know, I'll show it to you. I'll bring it up here next Sunday. Remind me. But here's the Savior that redeemed us when we were the very ones that killed him. His desire is to bring life to us and bring healing to us. But not only that, the part that just leaves me unable to comprehend it is here is the God of creation that we killed his son. When we become a follower of Christ, we take part in Jesus' death. Who not only is so loving to give us his son for that, because I've shared the analogy, we don't have time again or I'd do it again, about how my son is a sinner and how I couldn't let my son die for someone who deserved to die. And I just can't even believe the love that God has for us, that God is so loving and loves us so much that he gave his sinless son to die for us wretched beings to make us righteous in his sight. And not only that, he invites us to dwell eternally with him. Whew. That is a love that is incomprehensible, unable to be fully grasped, but man, what a love it is. That's the God this morning invites you to fellowship with him if you don't know him. That's the God that this morning, if you're not involved in serving him in the kingdom, says, my child, I want you fulfilled. Come, be a part of the kingdom. Experience the fulfillment of leading a boy or a girl or a man or a woman to saving faith in Jesus Christ because you shared what I've done in your life. Come, come find that fulfillment. It says, come and find release from the bitterness and anger you're holding on to this morning. Come find relief and release from the bondage of addiction this morning. He just says, come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and what is the promise? I will give you rest. And then he expounds on it. Take my yoke upon you and learn, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. And when you think about a yoke, you think about the yoke. When you yoke ourselves, you yoke yourself to the Lord. Who's the stronger one? He is. He will lead us. He'll guide us. He'll protect us. What a promise. What a love. What do you need freed from this morning? What do you need set free from? What direction do you need this morning? See, the gospel call, the gospel message is one of freedom. Whether it's you here today being challenged and being able to share the gospel, maybe you're like, listen, you lost me a while ago because I'm not even a place where I could share. I'm so out there in left field right now that I just want the basic restoration of fellowship with a father right now. Or maybe you're a person that says, I don't know what it's like to sit down at a wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb. I can't even understand it in theory right now because I've never partaken in the gift of life through Jesus Christ, through placing my faith and trust in him, repenting of my sin, and asking him to be my Savior and Lord of my life. And maybe that's where you're at today. I want to tell you, you're at the greatest place you'd ever be because the truth of God's word is preeminent here today. It is the only truth. It is the only hope. And it's the only life. And I encourage you, if you're here today and go, I need that more than anything, I just assume, I would encourage you to tackle me, but don't really tackle me because it might mess my back up. Amen? But maybe during an invitation, you can jump up and run to me because you want to talk to me before anybody else does. I'd encourage that. And I say that because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. What are you waiting for? If you know what you need and you know right now what you don't have, and maybe you're in the bondage of bitterness, in the bondage of anger, in the bondage of unforgiveness, in the bondage of things that happened in your childhood or adulthood or anywhere in between, I know what you know right now because to dwell there. I know the misery you're in, and I know that there's only one going to set you free, and that's Christ Jesus. But you've got to come to the place where you allow him to take all of what you're right now believing that your anger is accomplishing. And by the way, anger and bitterness and unforgiveness is this. It's like drinking strychnine poisoning and then sitting back waiting for somebody else to die. The only person it kills is you. Not 5 years ago now, it's probably been 8 or 9, but I was a priest of revival, and a woman came up to me and she was in tears and said, I need to talk to you. So I went off to the side and she said, I want to tell you, I need you to forgive me. I've been angry at you for 10 or 12 or whatever years. And I said, oh, wow. And I said, I don't want to know. I don't even remember. But I said, absolutely. And I gave her, and she just wept. She just wept. Because she had been, and she said, whatever it was so foolish and insignificant and meant nothing. She said, but I've allowed it to eat me up, and I'm not going to let it go one more moment. And it had been the first time, I guess, she had seen me since she got mad at me. And the great thing is, God gave me a complete ignorance of it. I have no idea. Couldn't tell you now what it was. But I'm so thankful, though, that that woman got bondage, delivered from that bondage. She got the forgiveness. And like I said, she had been the one in the prison of what she had thought the enemy convinced her of whatever it was that she was bothered about. She realized it had nothing to do with me. It was a trap and a trick from the enemy. How many people this morning lead set free from a prison cell of something that is not killing that person you're upset at? But what you do in forgiveness is tell them, I release you from everything that I feel you owe me. See, that's what forgiveness is. You might have someone who's dead that you can't go ask for forgiveness. You know what? You can still get forgiveness this morning. All you've got to do is confess your sin, because 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This morning, if you need to rededicate your life to Christ, I want to encourage you to do it. You know why? Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Right now, you can walk out of this building today and feel about 3,000 pounds lighter, because forgiveness does that. God, thank you, because the enemy has tried to define me by my failures. But I know, Lord, I'm defined by the righteousness of Jesus Christ and not by my works that are on my best day, as Paul says, filthy rags. God, thank you for the gift of freedom in Jesus Christ, not to live as a slave to sin, but as a follower of Christ Jesus in righteousness. And though, as Proverbs says, the righteous may fall 6 times or 7 times a day, they get back up. Amen? God is faithful. This morning, claim the victory. I'm not talking claiming health and wealth stuff. I'm talking about claiming victory in Jesus to live his purpose, plan, and path your life according to his word and desire for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, this morning. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you.
God bless you.